gentlemen, boys and girls, super fit young Australians, and Olympic Brazil nuts. It's that time again. Time to down the tools and grab a fistful of golden glory on the Mardi Gras of medals. With those two champions of the podium, rampaging Roy Slaven and HG Nelson. HG.
Yes, thanks very much indeed. Jumping Jai, the centimetre guy in the network's soundproof booth. Welcome to Rio. Welcome to the Murray Rose Pool for day six of competition. Day six, traditionally Dawn Fraser Day at every Olympics game since 1896. Today, of course, golf returned to the Olympics at the highest level. And in a minute or two, the bloke with the death stare will be going for his 22nd gold medal. I refer, of course, to rampaging Roy Slaven. Roy, welcome to the Rose again. The highlights just keep on coming here in Rio.
It's quite a ride, isn't it? It's quite a ride. And I know I'm quoting Bruce McAvaney here, but God almighty, you've always got to close. You've got to go for the best, haven't you? And that, can I just draw people's attention to that lovely little link between Hamish McLaughlin and Bruce every night at around 7:15.
It's all you need to know.
This is Eastern Standard Time back in Australia. It's really worth watching. Bruce opened up the way he is. And as you say, she's just been marvellous in the last 24 hours. The Australian water polo players, they're complaining of stinging eyes from the pool water. I can fully understand what's going on. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, my intelligence gathering has led me to believe that the Chinese in particular and the Russians to a slightly less extent are urinating in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cultural thing, but it is affecting the eyes.
Can I point out your suspicions also are that this is drug-assisted urine?
Of course it's drug-assisted urine. Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
And they're unloading in the pool to take unfair advantage?
To take advantage. Because they're used to those conditions and we're not. We're used to clean pools. Now, the US media, HG, no one's talking about the US media, but we are. the US media are talking nothing but boomers at the moment. It's all boomers, boomers, boomers. And why not? With the prospect of a gold medal rematch being talked about.
A rematch.
It'll be a grudge match too.
Mm-hmm.
Who can forget Charles Barkley and Hammer Heel? That's where it all started. That's that's where the dynamite was made back in 2000. And it's going on.
Dream Team v Boomers too.
That's it. The Bogut-led Boomers. Let's not forget Bogut. Let's not leave Bogut out of the equation.
Bugger all Bogut.
Now, the Australian Olympic bid, HG, to host the 2028 Games now, and I don't know any Australian who isn't right up behind this one. Now, we're having trouble finding corporate sponsors. Now, Southeast Queensland has put its hand up to be the host for the 2028 Games, and I would ask Fortescue Metals, any of them, to put their hand up and say, yes, I want to be part of 2028, the Olympic Games back in Australia.
I'd love to see one of those coal miners who are buggering the reef to put their hand up and say, yes, we'll do
it. Oh, Adani.
Well, I suppose Adani.
The Indian firm.
That's right.
They'd love to be part of the Australian 2028 Olympic Games. Of course they would.
It'd be soft
Fortescue
power.
Metals, Adani. There might be one or two other coal mines that want to put their hands up too, because I know coal's going through the roof in Queensland. It is. Now, the boomers have topped their pool surging over Japan earlier this morning. I suppose people would have been up early to watch that one. I was. It was great. And the new awesome foursome keep the spirit alive with silver.
Mm-hmm.
And there is talk of a revival, HG, of the very famous Goulburn Valley fruits ads. You might recall that the
just
original,
take us through some of those.
Remember the original
ads?
Awesome Foursome?
Yes,
Drew Ginn and all
James Tompkins and
Tompkins, all that.
They were disembodied heads floating around.
They were heads
around.
Floating around amongst the fruit.
Did it work as an ad?
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Goulburn Valley Fruit is still going, but wouldn't it be good to see the firm come back together again, bung out some fruit, and have some silver awesome heads
now,
floating
the
around.
200 men's IM final up, and can he take it to the, well, uncharted level? He's taken it to uncharted level before, but he may be able to do it again. That's Phelps in the 200 IM coming up on the Mardi Gras of medals.
Rampaging Roy Slaven and HG Nelson. Thanks to our mates at Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
And Roy, it's been a very dramatic session here at the Murray Rose Pool. Lots of events take us through your highlights from the pool today.
Okay, Mitchell Larkin, HG, the much talked about. He got silver in the 200 backstroke, which is fantastic.
Excellent result.
Great result. He wasn't far behind, just a few tenths of a second. You know, wasn't much in it at all.
And he wanted a podium finish and he got it.
He got it. Yeah, dream come true. And nobody's talking dreams, are they? At the Olympics.
Well, I think
this year.
We're the only one, though.
We're the only ones talking
about Basil Zemplis, who's commentating just down the road from us here.
He hasn't mentioned dreams.
He hasn't mentioned dreams. He mentioned journey a lot. Journey a lot. Journey this, journey that. Journey when he goes to his, you know, has a slash.
I know.
When he picks up a Lamington on the way back from the slash, etc.
I hate the term journey. I prefer dream. Now, speaking of dreams, Taylor McKee on HG, she got wood in the breaststroke. Well, it would have been wood had it been for a medal. Now, are we seeing Phelps come in at first here, HG?
We are, 200 IM, medley? Phelps has just got a gold by an enormous margin. Yep. I'd say about half the length of the pool.
World record, that's his 22nd gold?
22nd gold.
Okay, he's either Don Bradman or he's Lance Armstrong.
Take your pick.
Just finally here, HG, Cameron McAvoy, he got dung in the 50 semi-final.
Thanks very much. So dung in a semi.
Dung in a semi, yep. Yeah, in the dung position. If he was able to reproduce that, which he's not allowed to, in the final, he'd go home with dung, which is fine. You know, it's better than nothing.
It's not quite on the podium, but it's bloody close.
It is.
And do you think
it is? Well, we will change the podium. You know, when the games come to South East Queensland, 228, there will be the six levels. You'll have gold, silver, bronze, tin, wood, dung.
And in some, I mentioned this in my blog last night. I put up, you know, 300,000 or 400,000 words. And I left out wood. I've got to apologise to people who logged on to the blog last night.
Okay.
There should be wood in there. And I know I did argue that dung was a very valuable metal, but now it's relegated to sixth place.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. Now, can I come to the race that's coming up? The 100 metres freestyle final.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's on in a few minutes.
This is what I call the Dawn Fraser event.
The Dawn Fraser event, because Dawn Fraser Day, now, correct me if I'm wrong, she's the last woman.
Australian woman.
I was just going to get to that. From Australia to win this event in the same way that yesterday Kyle Chalmers claimed the 100 metres for men for the first time since 68.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it fascinating the way history repeats itself in these odd cycles of almost 50 years?
Of dominance and then dominance a big drought.
Yeah.
Now,
I hope Dawn, I haven't seen Dawn here today. I hope she is here. Because wouldn't that be beautiful if Dawn presented the medal?
That would be it. Can I, dare I say this, a dream come true?
Thank you.
Especially if it was a young Aussie swimmer.
That's it.
On the top step of the podium. Speaking of medal presentations, yesterday you and I lingered around the pool because we knew something special was going to happen in the medal presentation. This is after we came off air with our commitments.
Yep.
In the medal presentation to Kyle Chalmers, because I thought, I stayed largely because I had a whisper that John Coates
was
going to be medal presenting, you know, doing the presentation.
Well, he usually bobs up when an Aussie's winning, doesn't he?
However, guess who's waddled out? Dick.
I know.
I almost fell off my stool.
I know you did. I couldn't believe it.
Now, take us through his style, his technique.
Okay. Look, he was great. he went up to the person who got bronze and said, hello, I'm Dick Pound. And they said, oh, yeah. And he said, congratulations and stay off the drugs. Well, a good message. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
He got to Kyle eventually and reintroduced himself. G'day, you mightn't have overheard because of all the noise, but I'm Dick Pound. And he said, what? I'm Dick Pound. Sorry? I'm Dick Pound. Oh! Okay,
who?
The message got through. Well, he's only 18.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been around in Dick's day.
No.
You know, when Dick was really pounding. You know what I mean? But anyway, they got on House on Fire, and there was talk of, you know, maybe having a cup of coffee or something to talk about drugs in sport a little bit later on.
Was there any message apart? You know, obviously that...
Stay off the drugs. That was the message.
Stay off the drugs, yes.
Yeah.
And...
and congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Dick Pound. They seem to be the three dot points on the pound pad.
Higher, faster, longer. That's the secret of golden success on the Mardi Gras of medals. Roy and HG.
Yes, look, we were lucky enough to hook up with Kyle Chalmers last night. It was terrific to get his thoughts on Dick Pound and the medal presentation, which you've just relayed, obviously.
Isn't he refreshingly down to earth?
amazingly down to earth. And to think that he's could be a loss to swimming if he wants to play AFL footy.
I heard that.
And the great thing, of course, he comes from Port Lincoln, echoing the great work of Dean Lucan all those years ago. He learned to swim in the leisure centre there. And
What I found amazing, he'd never heard of Dean Lucan.
That is amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it? You think small town, word would get out. Who's that bloke?
What's Chef
Michel? Throwing the salmon about? What's his name?
With the gold round his neck. Chef de Michon surely should be teaching these kids of the history of, obviously.
Yeah, well, kids aren't that interested in history anymore.
No, that's true. Yeah. That's true. And the medal presentation underway here just alongside of us. If the cameras sweep round, don't be surprised if you catch the card table with the bunting on it, in the wider shot there. It's got to go a bit wider than that, sadly. Now, he, 18-year-old, obviously broke the 48-year gold medal drought in the 100 metres, but became our youngest swimmer to gold or to medal in the golden variety since Ian Thorpedo Thorpe did it at 17 in Sydney 2000. And here, I don't think the kids aren't interested in history because Thorpe wrote Kyle a letter.
Did he really? Back then in 2000?
I think so.
How old was Kyle then? How did Thorpe know that he had interest in swimming? He must have been about 18 months old.
Anyway, the letter said... He said, just enjoy every moment. This is Thorpe, remember?
Yep.
Just enjoy every moment. He told me it's not going to be easy, but enjoy it and have fun. Now, are those the sort of instructions you want to give to somebody who's swimming his biggest race in his life? Mm-hmm. From Port Lincoln to Emmanuel College to Rio?
Yes.
Just get out there and have fun? I mean, it's more serious than that, surely.
Yeah, well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? And probably his coach has been telling him that. But in the end... You've got to enjoy yourself, haven't you? You know, if you don't enjoy yourself, you just don't swim well. And a lot of swimmers don't realise that I was swimming well because I was enjoying myself. I wasn't enjoying myself because I was swimming well. You know, it's chicken and egg. But in the end, the egg always comes first. That is, you've got to enjoy yourself. And if you're enjoying yourself, the swimming will follow. And Ian's aware of that. Ian knows that. And this is a pearl of wisdom that he put down in print. He actually wrote it out. And then sent it off, obviously, to everyone in Australia. And I don't recall getting my letter, but anyway, isn't it great that Kyle, in fact, opened his envelope up and read it and took it to heart, even though he's only 18 months old at the time, that he could remember, oh, that letter that I got. Yeah, what was it again? Oh, enjoy myself. Oh, okay, I will. And he did, and he won.
You know what worries me about this is the use of the word letter. I mean, poor old Kyle had to go and ask his mum and dad, what's a letter?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what's this thing that comes through the letterbox?
Yeah.
You know, the email, you know, Twitter, all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
It's been invented since he was two.
That's right.
No one uses a stamp anymore.
No. Speaking of stamps, haven't we got the Rugby Sevens girls?
The Rugby Sevens stamp is available.
It's available already. Yeah, isn't this fantastic. Rugby Seven? Hasn't it captured the imagination of the world, the women's sevens?
The
talk in the American media, apart from boomers.
And, of course, we should congratulate Fiji.
Yeah.
I know we're going to deal with this a bit later in the show.
Sure.
But Fiji winning gold in the sevens, the first medal, and I think you were telling me the first medal, you were talking to John Coates about it earlier, the first medal to a South Pacific nation of gold variety.
That's right. Yeah, the first medal of any sort.
Any sort.
Of any sort to a Pacific nation.
Are we including New Zealand in this?
No, I'm not. Although, have they ever won a medal? Have they? They must have done at some stage.
Mm.
Didn't they have a city runner some time ago? Walker, his name might have been.
That's a long time
ago. I think he was born in Australia on Anzac Day.
Roy and HG for Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
And they're just about to walk out for the 100 metres freestyle final for women in Rio 2016. In fact, they've started and Bronte Campbell will be swimming in two, so keep an eye on lane two, the plucky young sister to the other swimmer who is in lane four, Kate Campbell. Roy, two and four, favourite lanes of yours?
Yeah, I don't mind two or four, I prefer five.
Well, five has got Penny Oleksiak in it from Canada, one of the main threats. I think she's about 7 feet tall.
She is. I've got the hump with her. I've refused to speak with her, and I've refused to speak to the Swede.
Sarah Sundström.
Yeah, no, I've got the hump with her.
Right, because the style, technique.
The style, everything about her. The haughtiness, you know, the self-assuredness, disproportionate to the talent. You know, I hate all that.
Too many medals?
Yes.
Now,
too many tickets and no medals.
Here's Bronte Campbell, the first of the Campbells out.
Don't they look relaxed, these Campbells? I just hope they've got the thought message to just relax and enjoy yourself.
Has Ian written a message?
No, not to them, no.
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 Why didn't they get
I don't know why they didn't get the message from Ian.
Now, Roy, just speaking of the war of words, which mercifully is absent from this race.
Yes.
The war of words concerning drugs, as we wait for the team to assemble.
Yeah. Do we know if these pictures are going live into Australia?
We hope so. We hope people are... you know, let's face it, what time would it be in Australia? Eastern Standard Time, it'd be about 12:30.
Would it? Okay.
So these people will be on their lunch break, gathered around televisions,
yes,
listening to you and me. And, of course, you know, in the background, we'll hear Basil and Gian Rooney calling
yes.
the race as well, because they're commentating just down the road from
yeah,
us.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
As you can hear in the pool probably now. There's the favourite, I assume, for the Kate Campbell and Penny Oleksiak.
Oh, here comes Kate Campbell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
in case people are watching at home, she's the one dressed in the gold and the green of Australia, with the name Campbell.
Can you believe it?
The crowd on their feet. What a champion.
Triple M's live Olympic coverage. Brought to you by Slater and Gordon, official partner of the Australian Olympic team.
And you can see Kate's got the Olympic record and the world record. What I wanted to come to while they're loosening up here was this excessive drug testing of Australian swimmers
yep.
in the Olympic Village is being seen now. You know, the chef de mission got this for me exclusively for Mardi Gras medals as a deliberate payback for our athletes speaking out against doping.
Yeah.
What do you know about this?
I think that's true, You know, nobody likes whistleblowers. And the Australians have been probably guilty of being just a little bit too honest. Mm-hmm. And we're being punished. So we're being drug tested, disproportionate in volume, the testing, where some of our athletes are being tested 4 and 5 times a day. And sometimes, you know, if they go to bed... Brazil time at about 10 o'clock. They're being tested at 11 o'clock, quarter past 2, quarter past 4 in the morning. You know what I mean? To disrupt the rhythm of their sleep. This is a deliberate ploy.
And very close to, they're on the blocks now for the 100 metres freestyle, one of the blue ribbon event. And remember, Dawn Fraser.
Dawn Fraser's here.
And was the last person to win this event on Dawn Fraser Day.
Yep.
Away of the final away. Of the women's
Roy, what did you make of the start?
A good start from both Campbell sisters, HG.
And you can see now that the Canadian has just got a slight advantage, if I read this correctly,
yep.
closer to the camera now. But now I think Kate's throwing down, can I dare say, the gauntlet. Remember,
yeah.
a Bronte in lane yep. two, that's on the right-hand side, and yep. Kate dead bang in the middle there.
And look how the sisters are looking at each other, HG. They're looking at each other.
They're
1 and 2 at the moment. They're 1 and 2.
Aussies 1 and 2. Kate took it out very, very quickly there. And now we're in the final lap of the 100 metres freestyle for women. Can this baton, this magic connection between Kyle winning the 100 metres freestyle for men yesterday and now Kate Campbell winning the 100 metres freestyle for women today? It says the Canadians coming through in the middle now.
Come on, Kate!
Any chance here? Oh, it's going to be another two.
Oh, no!
Oh no,
I'm not looking. I don't like the look of this. Hey, she looks like we've got dung and wood.
Dung and wood. I saw a little bit of tin in there, Roy. We've got to wait now until we see the official thing.
It's not official yet.
Canada, America, and Sweden look to me like the placings.
Yes.
1, 2, and 3.
Yes. This is a boil over.
An absolute boil over.
There'll have to be an inquiry, a probe, a royal commission.
A royal commission, you call it?
The Prime Minister is calling for a royal commission.
Already?
Already.
Wow, that was incredible because we were just so confident. I was confident. When they hit the flags,
yeah.
I thought we were there. That race changed complexion entirely in the last 5 metres.
It did. We had it won until the end.
Well,
didn't we?
Until they had to touch the wall.
I mean, had it been... I don't know, a lap and a half, we'd have gone 1-2. We would have.
Roy,
yes.
You've been very critical of our turns in this whole meet.
Yeah.
I know in the past you've called for a tumble turn coach.
Yes, I have.
You resolved from that today.
No, I don't
resolve.
And
the other thing is your blog last night on why are we going out so fast. That had me thinking.
Yes.
Every race,
yes.
we hit the wall at the turn, we're in front.
Yes, yes, yes. As if in our minds the event is only half as long as it should be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that had been a 50 metre, we'd have won. Now, that's not the headspace to have. I mean, sure, enjoy yourself, Thorpe style, but to enjoy yourself, you've got to win. Win first, enjoy yourself second.
Rampaging Roy Slaven with HG Nilsson riding shotgun.
Limber up and get on board the Mardi Gras of medals.
Well, I think I can speak for all Australia from the Murray Rose Pool, the card table, the Triple M card table at the Murray Rose Pool. We're in shock.
We are. We got it.
We need to go back and just gather our thoughts for a minute here behind the card table on Dawn Fraser Day.
Yeah.
Penny Oleksiak won the 200 free. Sorry, the 100 free.
Yeah.
Simone Manuel from the United States was second, and Sarah Sundstrom, our nemesis, was third.
Yeah.
Bronte Campbell was fourth, and Kate Campbell, who I think is both the Olympic record holder and world record holder, is sixth.
Dung. So we got tin and dung.
Do we have to go back to the drawing board? Do we have to really think about this now and say, well...
Well, we could dwell on how great Dawn Fraser was.
How great was Dawn?
You know, when she brought it home, that was such a great swim. Sure, slow by today's standards, but... in a day, she was so electric in the water.
Did she enjoy her swimming?
She loved her swimming. Mm-hmm. But she always put the chicken before the egg. She always felt you had to do the work first and then enjoy yourself later. Unlike what Thorpe's been trying to put into the polluting these kids' minds by saying, enjoy yourself and then the wins will come. Well, I'm sorry, Ian. The world doesn't work that way. You know, much as you might like to colour it, you forget how hard you had to work yourself. You know, it wasn't all beer and Skittles for Thorpey. No. He had to work his bloody arse off.
And he had the big feet.
He had the huge feet. Yeah. That sort of advantage.
Could never find shoes to fit him. That's how big they were.
I know.
Now, you know, I still think we go out too hard.
We do. And our turns are shameful. Shameful.
You know, you've watched Australian swimming for a very long time.
I have.
Really. Is this the worst turning you've seen?
This is the worst team of tumble turners I've ever seen.
Have we employed a tumble turn coach?
No,
ever?
We never have. We never have. And I don't know why. Forbes Carlisle, rest his soul, the great Australian coach.
He just died recently before he saw this.
I know, but I'm glad he didn't see this. Yeah. He was all for getting a specialised tumble turn coach in. But at that stage, there wasn't a tumble turn coach in the world.
No.
You know, as it is, there's only a handful. You know, once you get past, you know, Graham Kelly, Mick Norburn, well, it gets pretty thin after that.
Mm-hmm. Neil Rogers.
In terms of your tumble turn coaches. There aren't many.
And Neil, unfortunately, has lost to the Masters.
I know.
I mean, he's doing great work with seniors, but he has to come back to have a look at...
Well, it's hard to make a living as a tumble turn coach. You can't!
I know.
Could
they get a sponsorship? You know, somebody, one of those coal companies?
What, Fortescue Metals or something like that?
Right. Now, but on the good news, Roy, today, golf. Golf is back.
Oh, yeah.
Now...
See, that's the beauty of the Olympics, you know. There's so much disappointment. But there's you can always bounce back, can't you, and look at something else.
Two things about the golf today. The great Marcus Heaney is leading the field with 8-under.
Marcus Fraser.
Sorry, Marcus Fraser.
I'd never heard of Marcus Fraser. You know what I mean? He's come out of nowhere. Where has he been hiding?
I know, absolutely nowhere. And the other thing is the great work of the British golfer.
Yeah.
I want to say Justin Rose. But
Justin Rose,
yes. Hole in one.
Yeah.
Now, this has brought the golfing community together and has enabled the sport to go beyond the constraints and the criticism.
Yes.
Roy, the first time in 112 years golf is here. I know you were very critical about it being part of the Olympics, and I said I wouldn't say anything about it. I've broken that rule.
No, you are. You're breaking that rule now.
I know. I'm only going to say a few words about it. You know, are you pleased that it's back, and do you think it has a future?
Look, I do. I thought the golfers would look uncomfortable in the context of the Olympic Games, but they don't. And I agree with Arnold Palmer. You know, Arnie never considered golf as being an Olympic sport, but now he's seen it in context. He loves it. And I agree with him. I think it's brought something really interesting to the Olympic movement.
Now, Roy, all sports in the Olympics in particular are traced back to the skills of war. Mm. So as you have the pole vault, getting over the battlements, you have pistol shooting, shotgun shooting, obviously, speaks for itself.
Bow and arrow.
That's right. Now, golf, what's its origins in terms of, say, warfare? Is it a hunting thing?
Mm.
As in, you try and ping off a capybara with a, you know, a sure flight?
Yeah.
Or is it something to do with more like a tactical, maybe sending messages from one camp to another?
My understanding is, HG, for example, William Wallace... It was a Scottish thing that you would use a golf club. It was made of timber in those days. It was nothing like it is today.
Yeah.
To lob little stones
onto the heads of your enemy. And you could do it over a great distance, just to, especially at night, when they weren't expecting it, you know, when they were sitting around their campfires telling their stories, all of a sudden, ooh, whack, what was that? I don't know. And they keep going on with their story. Oh, whack, someone else gets hit. It's only, you know, 300 or 400 little stones being lobbed on you. You wouldn't sleep very well. And if it got you in the right spot, you might lose an eye or have your nose broken or something like that.
Yeah, put
so,
you off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was just a tactic. It was a genuine tactic of warfare back in the 12th, 13th, 14th centuries.
And, of course, this course, much criticism about this course, from especially from the local people who moved on to make way for it, and, of course, the nature itself,
yes,
which is in a bit of trouble in the area.
Yes.
The capybaras, these rather big wombat-like rodents that roam around.
Yeah.
Course hazard or fair game?
Fair game, I think. Yes. I know a lot of the players have enjoyed, you know, using them as target practice. You wouldn't get away with it in Australia because the RSPCA and, you know, blinkered laws, you know, especially
different sensibilities.
Yeah, I know that. You've only got to look what's happened to, the greyhounds, for example. Here in Brazil, they love their greyhounds. They love eating them. They love doing anything with them, you know what I mean? And they're not given the sort of respect that they're given in Australia. And it's the same with this large rodent, the world's largest rodent, HG.
It is, that's right. And up to 90 kilograms.
90 kilograms.
Hell of a lot.
They're a very imposing beast, but they're stupid.
Yeah. And the alligator.
Yes.
The relative of the alligator that's transferred from the rather polluted water of the, you know, the harbours around here in Rio onto the pristine conditions on the golf course water is filtered.
Yes.
It goes through that charcoal filter that you love so much.
Yeah.
It's beautifully clear. I had a drink of it the other day.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah, better than the pool.
Yeah. But you've got to be careful with the alligators. Mercifully, we've only lost one caddy so far.
So far, yes. And, Roy, can you see it kicking on?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can see if we can get the prize money up high enough, we might get some more golfers
and
playing at the Olympic level, because the prize money is nothing. You know, you get gold, silver, bronze, you know, tin, wood, dung. And that's it.
I know in a blog before the Olympics started, you suggested a prize purse of $1 billion.
Yes, I thought $1 billion. They would take it seriously. That would get the likes of, you know, your
Fuzzy Zeller, Duffy Waldorf.
That's it.
You pull Davis all, Love III.
Yeah, get them all out of the way. Yeah, Jason Day, or the Aussie heroes.
Adam Scott.
You get them there. Yep.
Would Shark turn up for $1 billion?
For $1 billion, I think he would.
Rampaging Roy Slaven and HG Nelson. Thanks to our mates at Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
And the 100 metres men's fly semi-final is underway just in front of us here at the Murray Rose Pool. And, of course, he's back. He's back in the water, and this is an incredible, if he makes this will be, whoever's going to beat him. He's on his way to 24 medals.
Yeah.
Let's just take it down to the tape here, Roy.
Yeah, it's a semi-final, isn't it?
Semi-final. Yeah. He'll turn off as soon as he realises he's made the final, and he comes in second.
Second, yeah, that's all you've got to do.
That is remarkable.
Yeah, there's a lesson there for our younger swimmers, isn't he?
Did you think he's enjoying his swimming now? I mean, he's gone, he's done everything. He doesn't have to prove anything to anybody.
I suppose he doesn't, but he doesn't appear to enjoy himself doing anything, does he?
No.
He's always doer out of the water, and he's doer in the water.
He's got the death stare happening out.
He's got the death stare out. I mean, what's he going to do once swimming
leaves him?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not worth thinking about, is it?
Just a bit of housekeeping before we go on. Obviously, we make the show Monday to Friday, and so over the weekend, you'll just have to live the life on the podcast. And we'll
but Channel 7 will still be...
7 will still keep going.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure Bruce is front and centre.
Yeah, okay.
Next week, obviously, we'll be moving to the track and field venue with taking the card table over there.
Yep.
And looking forward to enormously a great week of Aussie success there. Mm. If you want to get in touch, the Twitter hashtag Mardi Gras of Medals. And if you want to get in touch, maybe email-wise, royandhg@triplem.com.au. And these people have, Roy.
Oh, yes. Look, I do have an email here, HG. And thank you very much for the emails coming in. Very, very interesting. This one's come from Doddy in Newcastle. That'd
Doddy.
Be Newcastle, just north of Sydney, I imagine, on the eastern seaboard of Australia. It's interesting to put these things in context when you're in Brazil. You know what I mean? Anyway. He says, in watching the games on Seven's brilliant coverage. Oh, he's right there. And he says, how good is Hamish? !
Well, he's right. Noticed this.
This is Hamish McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. And that terrific handover with Mel McLaughlin, which I think happens around 9 o'clock. That's worth watching. As is the grilling of Bruce every night.
And it's first class.
It's first class. Thank you very much, HG. Anyway, I've noticed there's not much crowds at the venues, he goes on to say. What can be done to get Brazilians to turn up and support the people's games? Very good question. I know there's talk of getting the military involved to round up people under threat of gunfire and get them into the venues. But
I take your point. That used to work in London, where there were a lot of similar teething problems in the first week, and same in Sochi. Yep. But people here have a different relationship to gunfire than we
It doesn't seem to frighten them as much as others, does it?
No,
you're right there. No, you're right there, and that might have something to do with it. And maybe next week. I'm expecting
the Brazilian week.
In the bigger venues. You know, the swimming's very boutique. He says here, P.S., and while I'm at it, where does Hamish, that is Hamish McLaughlin, on Channel 7, keep getting his stats from? He keeps talking about how water polo players, quote, swim up to 5 kilometres in a game, unquote. And yet if they swam as quickly as the kiddie Kyle Chalmers for the 32 minutes of a game, that is 4 times 8-minute quarters, they wouldn't get anywhere near 5 kilometres. So it's an interesting thing, isn't it? I think the suggestion here is that Hamish might be making up his stats.
That's excellent, though, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, you and I make up stats.
Yeah, we do.
But they're stats that no one else knows about.
No, that's true.
You know, capybara sighted today in round one of the golf. We haven't got a clue, but 44 were.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And that sets it in some sort of context. People realise that golfers are being monstered by these 90-kilogram rodents. It's just terrific out there. And especially the early tee-off. You know, they haven't settled down for the day.
Well, that's right. No, you can look, I take my hat off to Hamish. I mean, it takes courage to make up your own stats.
And
you know, you could say, like, this is the eighth Olympic Games I've watched with Hamish as a host.
That's great. It's the confidence with which you say
them. With confidence.
It's the same with pronouncing names. Yeah. I often have the trouble with the term Campbell. I try and do it with confidence so as people won't notice that I'm actually fudging and, you know, in trouble, CA, et cetera.
Yeah, you want to call them, the Bronte sisters?
I do. Yeah. Or the Barretts. They'd change their name to Barrett and make it so less embarrassing. Mm. Now, speaking of disappointment, and we might end with a rather sad note, is that a few days into the Games, the British judo champion Ashley McKenzie was knocked out of the Games. He retreated to the back corridors of the judo arena and collapsed into tears on the floor behind a bin. Wheelie bin.
Yeah.
McKenzie lost by a point. Well, you can actually only lose by a point in judo, but that's neither here nor there. Mm. Under the 60-kilogram category, the world champ.
Yeah.
A similar scenario was played out in London. He lost to the same bloke in the same category, etc. Yeah. 4 years down the drain. Now, is that the worst you've seen here?
It is pretty much. People cope with disappointment in different ways, don't they? Some people tear their hair out and scream. Other people just vomit. Others get gastric. And some people just throw themselves into a rubbish bin and hope that someone comes along and tips them out in the dump and they're forgotten about. And I hope the Bronte sisters, to whom you were referring earlier as Campbells, I hope they're not in that category today, HG. I hope they can put their heads high and say, OK, we've got wooden dung. A lot of people haven't.
I know.
That's what I'd be saying to them. Listen, you Brontes.
You've done well. You've been to the Olympics. How many?
You're Olympians. They can't take that away from
them.
They cannot take that away from those Brontes sisters.
You know, I don't care. Bruce McAvaney never mentions them again.
Hmm.
They'll always be Olympians to us.
Yes.
They'll always be a people who swam in that final.
Exactly. And can I say, HG, I will remember for the rest of my life, sitting here with you poolside, watching the Campbells bring home tin and dung.
And can I say, and this brings a tear to the eye, can I say that halfway down that second lap, I thought they were going to go 1-2.
So did I. That was my, can I use the word,
dream. See you Monday.
Roy and HG, thanks to Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.